adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. I'm in New York tonight. Dr. Drew is in L.A. Kennedy is our guest. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Are you still at a strip club right now? Are you calling in from a strip club? You say, either that or you're in a trash can.
Oh, really?
You sound like the Grouch or something.
Always something.
Yeah. Well, hi, Kennedy.
Hi, Drew.
How are you?
Hi, Adam.
Hey, Kennedy.
Oh, we're getting feedback, too. It's very nice, Adam.
Oh, really?
Turn your headsets down. It's lovely, lovely, all lovely. Right. Well, at least you don't have Mr. Kimmel there farting.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, I heard you guys' show the other night when you both were a little gassy, and I just remember hearing something about Jimmy eating canned onions in order to get the stinky farts, not just be gassy.
No, he eats canned clams.
Oh, is it canned clams? That's even worse.
Yeah. That's his move.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. But he does the clams. He does the onions for the gas and the clams for the smell.
Nice.
Right. No.
There's Adam. How do you know about that?
Onions for gas and clams for smell. Did you say that?
I think that's what I said.
Oh, okay, baby. Then you're right.
Hey, Adam. Did you switch mics?
No, I just turned my headphones way down.
they switched it for you. Good times.
Does it sound any better?
Oh, yeah, it sounds
1,000%. Yeah, you were in front of the wrong mic. We were hearing the whole room and everything else.
All right, well, let's give our good pal Kennedy show a nice big fat plug. What is that?
Friend or foe?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Sunday nights after the man show. Monday, June 3rd.
tonight was Crank Yankers. And Adam, did you get my message?
When?
Which message? That the puppets are all penises.
Big penis.
Oh, yes, I did get that message from you.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You know, I think you're reading a little too much into it.
Well,
what's the name of the show?
Big Penis.
Yeah, okay, that's right.
You do see some puppet penis on Crank Yankers.
They're all penises.
Themselves.
All the penises in the ad so far. I didn't see the show tonight. I know Crank Yankers premiered tonight on Comedy Central.
But tomorrow night.
However, tomorrow night, Adam. I haven't seen the live puppets, but all the pictures that I've seen of the puppets, whether they're dark or light, creamy or white, they're all penises.
Yeah, but Kennedy, to be fair, you see a cinnamon roll and you see a penis.
Do I ever.
That's right.
Love everything that creamy you see, center.
Everything you see turns into a penis.
Why do I always tongue the outside of a cinnamon roll? God,
let's talk about friend or foe.
Okay.
For just,
Monday night, 10:30. I'm trying to get that out there for Eastern
Drew,
time.
Drew, will you shut up, please?
Hey.
I want to know how this show works.
All right, it's confusing.
All right, go ahead. We got all night.
All right, it's a game show on the Game Show Network. Three new game shows on the Game Show Network. It's a place where people traditionally have gone for the older game shows, Match Game, Password, the old, what's that show called? Pressure Luck. No whammies.
Right.
No whammies ever. And so my show actually airs at 10:30 Eastern Time, and there are three teams of two people who don't know each other, and they answer trivia questions, and at the end of each round, a team is eliminated. However, before they are eliminated, they have to go over to a trust box where they each have a friend or foe button, and they have to look at their partner and vote friend or foe right then and there, and if they both vote friend, they split their money down the middle. However, if one goes foe and the other goes friend, foe gets all the money. But if they both go foe, they don't get any money. And people get very upset. We've had some fights so far.
Mm. Well, now, are these two people, what is their relationship before the show?
They don't know each other.
Oh, okay.
They don't know each other. There are three players and three potential partners, and all the players have to pick a partner.
Oof.
Based on, you know, the limited information that we give them, which is like one good tidbit and one negative thing. It's like, you know, this is Steve. He is a pet groomer and he likes taking long walks and he had intercourse with his best friend's mom last week.
Oof.
So,
and
it's a balanced approach.
Sounds like our show, actually.
Uh-huh.
And now what kind of trivia questions are they?
They're not difficult, it turns out. They're funny. They're really funny and they're like their brain ticklers, if you will. It's nothing that's going to make you retch with intellectual.
You can see Kennedy's has very careful media training here.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, so this is tomorrow night.
It's brain tickler. Drew.
Right?
Yeah, tomorrow night. 7:30.
Opium is a brain tickler.
What time tomorrow night in Pacific time?
7:30 and 10:30. We checked our local listings, and it's 7:30 and 10:30, Friend or Foe, Game Show Network. And it's fun, and people swear and get very upset. They do.
Beautiful. And what? How does it work? How do the censors work on the Game Show Network? How much leeway do you guys have?
Can
you mean
I say
censors
the words?
With an S or a C?
C.
With a C.
Hey, listen,
yes, there, those people, I have to tell you, there are so many federal laws governing game shows, and I've never been on a TV production where we were stopped every few minutes by standards and practices, and lawyers would rush in, because if I got halfway through a question and screwed it up, mm-hmm. like if you fumble a line or something, they have to throw it away because the contestants have had too much time to think about it.
Oh my God!
And if the contestants are talking to each other, if they talk too much during the commercial breaks and stuff, or any time we're stopped down, they'll disqualify them. You're not allowed to do it. And people, you can't know someone beforehand. We've had to stop games in the middle when we found out the two contestants knew each other.
Doesn't it seem like they're putting a little too much time and effort into that aspect of society?
But again, it's whenever the politics dictated, there was some weird game show scandal, and then the politicians said, well, we're going to take care of this, and they made all these federal laws, and now it's a huge bureaucracy, so we can have safe game shows. Isn't
that's
that important?
What happens.
It's very important. Very important.
We've let the laws run our lives.
Think about all the crap that goes down on television. Yeah. It's very important that game shows be controlled.
But look at all these reality shows. I mean, I guarantee you there aren't the kind of laws and strict standards at Dog Eat Dog or Fear Factor or any of these other shows where someone nearly dies.
There isn't, but someone will die in the next 18 months, and then
but isn't that what we're looking
that.
For? That's what we're waiting for on Survivor. Like, they've stopped giving them rice and water, and pretty soon they're going to infect all of them with malaria before they even get to whatever island they're going to, just so
that's
someone
right.
has a good chance of dying.
We're going to infect you with the HIV virus and put you on the surface of the moon.
And tonight's immunity
no
challenge,
oxygen.
You get the cocktail. So.
You get the triple cocktail. All right. You got some calls lined up there, Drew?
We do. This is Katie, who is 21. Katie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Pretty good. Actually, I'm a 21. I just found out recently, it's about a year ago, that I have a herpes virus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. For me, I guess it's a hard thing. I'm just having a hard time. Maybe just reaching out to other people or just letting other people know. I don't know.
It's genital herpes, right?
Yeah.
It'd be funny if she's calling about a cold sore.
People freak out about that sometimes.
Do you have, you got a boyfriend?
No. Well, I did.
Until he found out about the herpes?
Yeah, I found out that where it came from was from him. And
did he know he had it?
After he slept with somebody else, then he knew he had it.
Oh, during your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
So you're having a hard time finding a new guy?
I'm just having a hard time, you know, telling anybody at all.
How long have you been aware that you have this?
Hmm?
How long have you been aware that you have this?
True, this is a horrible first call, by the way. This is never going to work. What? Talking
sorry,
to anyone at all?
Should I change to a new subject?
wait a second. What do you mean telling anyone at all? You don't have to tell anybody except for whatever potential partner you choose, right?
As far as meeting somebody else, and it's not telling anybody. It's just meeting a new person.
Well, how soon after you meet someone do you usually have sex with them? You're only 21, so how many sex partners have you had? Maybe five?
Less than that, actually.
Well, that's good. So that means that, you know, when you meet someone right off the bat, you're not just getting into bed with them. And you know what that means? You get to know somebody, and if it really gets to the point where you guys think you're going to have sex, you know, sex can lead to procreation and disease. So when it gets to that point where you're going to get down, then tell them that you've got herpes.
Make sure he wears a condom. Make sure you don't have an outbreak. You can probably
dental dams.
You can probably protect him from
ammonia,
from transmission. And just think about the fact there's a 1 out of 4 chance that he has warts and about a 1 out of 10 chance that he has herpes, too.
Kennedy, could you imagine yourself with some nice herpes or warts or something good like that, a little hepatitis?
Well, Adam, I'm sitting in your chair, so actually, yeah. Good thing I'm wearing panties.
Imagining it right now. Chris is 15.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
How's it going?
What's up?
Not much. Well,
oh, Chris. Yeah. For a 15-year-old, you sure have a mature voice.
Yeah, I get told that a lot.
Yeah,
all right, what's up, Chris?
Well, I was wondering, how young is too young to have sex?
14.
I had sex before, but I was kind of drunk, and I'm going out with this girl right now, and we're really hitting off really good. And
how old is she?
She's 14.
That's too young.
She's 15.
It is too young. Listen, most people are really not biologically at a place where they can handle what goes with
this. Especially young women.
Especially young women.
Not,
go ahead.
Not white kids.
They're not ready.
No.
Yeah.
Different cultures are ready about 11, but white kids don't get
that. Good stuff, Daniel Carver. God, I've missed you, Adam.
16 is where.
Just saying, they mature faster.
Yeah.
It's a cultural thing. Come on.
16 is where it becomes.
So if he's dating a Puerto Rican girl, it's okay. But if she's a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, she should refrain until she's 20.
At 14, you're considered a spinstress in Puerto Rico.
But 16 is pretty good.
I went to San Juan.
Most cultures would put it about 17 and a half, 18.
All right. So give her a little time.
That's a healthier age. And you don't want to wait too long, ladies.
Hunter, Adam Hunter is 18.
Oh, I love that name.
Hunter?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was listening to y'all, one of y'all shows, and the guy called in saying about how he was looking for names for his kid. And one of the names y'all happened to say was Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all were saying, no, that's gay, because whenever it's going to be, what did y'all say, erotic whenever he's gay. And
what?
I don't know, man, that's just wrong.
No, I think I said ironic when he turns gay, like he's hunting for penis.
Yeah, you said
he's
that,
hunting
yeah.
hunting for ass.
Erotic when he turns
he's
gay.
He's on a Felch safari.
I never imagined confusing ironic with erotic. That's nice.
It is Texas, after all.
Hey, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Hunter is a very butch name, and whenever you pick a very
for a girl,
butch
it
name,
is. Isn't there a famous lesbian named Hunter?
I've
That's
never
a great
heard.
Lesbian name. If I were a lesbian, I would change my name to Hunter.
I have never heard of a girl being named Hunter.
Are you a female by chance?
No.
Oh.
Not even close.
Sorry.
I am male 100% all the way through.
You gay?
Me think.
No. Oh, my God, no.
Me think the young gentleman doth protest too much.
Yes, yeah.
He's really into
listen,
it.
Listen, here's all I'm saying.
And he's really putting up a fight.
He's vomiting at the suggestion, Adam. How dare you?
Hunter is a very butch name, mm-hmm. and if you give your son a very butch name, there's an 80% chance he's going to be straight. But if he goes gay, he's going super gay.
Novelty.
So, novelty, Rip Taylor, gay. So I'm just saying it's a risk you run, that's all.
All right, here we go. This is Jennifer, who's 35.
Hi, guys and girl.
Jennifer. Hi,
Jennifer.
Jennifer.
Hi.
Foe is the show.
That's the Game Show Network, weeknights at 10:30, Jennifer, right before Russian Roulette with Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, cool. I'm watching Adam right now on Comedy Central, so.
Ooh,
do the puppets look like penises,
no,
Jennifer?
No, to be followed by Crank Anchors.
Yeah, Crank Anchors doesn't come on here yet. So. Mm-hmm.
You're watching The Man Show.
Uh-huh.
Which episode is on tonight, by the way?
There's two puppets humping or something.
Well, that could be any episode, be fair.
Oh, sock puppet porn?
Yeah. And there was the one where you put the money in the toilet.
Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You
know what I did? Hold on. Put her on hold for a second. Let me talk to Kennedy.
Yeah.
Kennedy, you will be completely grossed out by this, but let me tell you the nature of man.
I don't know. I've known you for a long time, Adam.
Mm-hmm. No, but this is right in your gross
okay,
wheelhouse.
Okay, but just before I said that, I've seen someone anally give birth to a Bert doll. So.
Oh, really?
Yes.
We'll get into that in the 11 o'clock hour. I did a little experiment on The Man Show where I took a fake dookie, but this dookie was made by our art department, and it looked really good.
Was it a floater?
It was a floater.
Okay.
And I put it in a toilet at the track, and then I took a beer, and I dumped the beer in there, and it turned the water sort of amber, and it looked like a big duke and a number one just filling a toilet.
Well, because you know how pee can get kind of fizzy and bubbly when you pee too hard?
It absolutely looks perfect. And by the way, anyone who wants to screw with anybody, I swear to you, if you just take a beer, if you take a Sam Adams and dump about half of it into a toilet walk away, it'll be just foamy enough and just amber enough to work.
Yeah.
The point is, duke and pee, and I floated a $20 bill in there, and we saw who took the bait. Every guy reached into that toilet.
Really?
You bet.
Now, what do you think would have happened if you put that in the
ladies' room?
Yeah, seriously.
Zero.
No, but if a woman was in there by herself, do you really think there's that much difference between the sexes?
Oh, my God, yes. Are you kidding?
Would you have reached in there, Drew?
100%, of course. 100% of guys would do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Adam, why didn't you do the experiment? Why didn't you put it in the women's room? It's the man show.
We didn't have access to the women's room. I had to get in there and hang out and stuff. It was horrible. But the point is every guy went with it, and I think I got down to tens and fives at a certain point, and they were still reaching in.
But they deserve it. You know what? If you're going in with all that bacteria and fecal matter, you deserve $20. Because your life is pretty pathetic.
That's what do you guys take, run over to the sink and wash it off?
Yeah, guys, one guy fish it out with, like, his pen.
Yeah.
But it's still dripping. That guy's just blotting it down with toilet paper and putting it right into his wallet. All right, put Jennifer back and let's talk to her.
I'll try that at work tomorrow in the women's room and let you know if the women
please do.
Okay. My question is for Dr. Drew or Kennedy, if she knows the answer. I was wondering if there's any way to make your period start a few days later or earlier besides taking the pill.
Start exercising and try and bring on as much stress into your life as possible. Heavy stress will definitely alter your period.
But you can't predict how.
That's why that's called stress. If it were predictable, it'd be have a different name, Drew.
So Jennifer, no.
Hey, hold on, wise ass. He's not talking about the stress. He's talking about the period.
No, I know that, Adam.
She just ran out of things
to say. Dare you attack my partner? Only I can.
Only Adam. That's right.
Pardon me, Adam.
That's right.
I think birth control pills are bad anyway.
No evidence for that. In fact, the current.
Since when does Kennedy need evidence?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like talking to you. But the less uterine cancer, less ovarian cancer, less
more breast cancer,
maybe.
More increased strokes.
No more increased stroke. The smokers may have an issue with vascular problems. The breast cancer has not been proven, but it has been proven to decrease uterine and ovarian cancers and decrease pelvic inflammatory disease and hospitalizations from PID.
So, okay, but the point is Jennifer needs to take the pill if she wants to slide
that's
that
the
period.
Only way. You have to be hormonal manipulation. All right?
All right.
Jennifer?
Yes.
You got a wedding coming up or something?
No. My boyfriend is on the East Coast, and he's coming out for the last weekend in June, and I wasn't supposed to be on my period, but I just started yesterday, which means I'm going to be on it when he's here, and he's only going to be here for 4 days.
Ah, that's okay if he really loves you.
Yeah.
You can walk through mud. You can.
He's not a Jamaican guy, is he?
No.
Okay. That's the only group I know just will not participate, right?
Yeah, he'll get busy. He'll work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll prove his love.
Whoops, excuse me here. There's a Ryo, 19.
Yeah, I have to take a drug test for a job, and I was just wondering if I use someone else's urine, like, does the urine change its composition or anything after 2 days, and should I have to keep it warm, or would you guys, I know it may not be appropriate for this talk show, but I just
what kind of job is it?
Banking.
Banking. Very important.
I like that.
What are you doing at the bank? Teller job?
Yeah.
At 19?
Yeah.
You can be a teller at 19, can't you?
Don't you have to go through...
Yeah, I used to work for them before. I used to work for the same company before.
But don't you have to go through quite a battery of tests in order to get a teller's job? Like, you have to take math tests.
They go through a background check, and then they just make sure that you haven't, made any breach of... broken any breach of trust or anything like that.
What's in your pee?
Just some pot.
Mm. Well,
all right, Drew. What about this? How do they?
You look for is the temperature. That's the first thing somebody's doing when you hand them the pee.
Well, how do you look for it?
You feel it.
Put your hand on it.
Yeah, if it's not,
feel a cup. Put it on your cheek.
Yeah, in your tongue, a couple drops. You feel it, and if it's not proper temperature, you make them go back out and do another one, and you watch it. You got to see it come out. In fact, most urine tests, if they're doing it properly, need to be observed. So it needs to come out of your penis. They need to see it coming out into the cup. If you try to use any adulterating agents and those get picked up in the test, which most tests do try to detect that kind of thing, it will be considered positive and that's it.
What are adulterating agents? Golden Seal.
And they do stuff that manipulates the pH and things, and then it's all positive. It's a positive test. Yeah. So it looks like you're monkeying with the urine.
What is a way to warm it? I mean, they have like those.
You can put it in your mouth.
You can put an IV bag and stick it under your arm.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That'll work? Mm-hmm. Interesting. And don't they have, like, little heaters, like, you know, you can buy at the sporting goods store, like, for hunting, you know, little chemical things where you break the bag or you twist the thing and it generates heat.
Mm-hmm.
You could use something like that. Mm-hmm. Tuck it.
Some hand warmers?
Yeah,
that actually makes sense, because
like
it would probably, because I was thinking of, you know, like a coffee cup warmer that people have on their desks, but that would make it a little too warm.
Mm-hmm.
No, and this is something, I mean, you can't be plugging in.
Because it loses the taste if it goes over 102.
If it sits too long on the pot. Yeah.
The cell's changing it, too, if you let it sit around too long and that kind of thing, and if they go so far as to do that, then you're busted again, so.
All right.
There you go.
All right, you want to take a break here, Drew?
I do.
Okay. Kennedy is our guest tonight. She's got a new show called Friend or Foe. It's coming out tomorrow night on the Game Show Network, 7:30.
10:30. Just say 10:30.
Alright, 10:30. Speaking of 10:30, Crank Yankers premieres tonight on Comedy Central.
That was the point.
10:30.
The prompt there, okay?
Thank you, buddy.
Right. I want to go to Hawaii! Yay! I want to go to Hawaii!
Is that one on tonight, that particular one?
I'm not sure Special Ed makes an appearance tonight. I think he does. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. I'm out in New York tonight. Dr. Drew is back in L.A. with the beautiful and talented Kennedy. Friend or Foe is the name of her new show.
Oh,
it's on the Game Show Network tomorrow night, Monday nights, 10:30. Yeah?
Oh, Adam. It's an endearing way of saying.
Yeah. And Crank Yankers, our new show on
it
tonight.
It premieres tonight. It premieres right now. So turn off the right now. That's not right.
I was in my hotel room tonight in New York.
Speaking of Crank Yankers.
Watching.
Just Yankers.
Yeah, I got one off, I got to tell you, because I went to the Hamptons over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
Didn't beat off for 2 days.
With whom?
2 days.
Because you had to behave yourself? You were there wearing white?
I was tired. I was sharing a room with Daniel, you know. It's just the vibes weren't there.
How is Daniel?
He's good, buddy.
He's traveling tonight on a plane, I hear.
No, a little Elton John reference there.
Who are you with, Mitch? Friends of Daniel's?
Yeah, just a bunch of rich people. Oh, my God, are they rich over there.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Jesus Christ, the Hamptons? Oh, I'm out on these $500,000 boats cruising around the harbor. And oh, my God. But anyway.
Did it whet your appetite for the lifestyle? Are we going to lose you?
No.
Adam already is literally a millionaire, but these people must be.
Yeah, but that's nothing out there.
$1 million.
Oh, nothing. No. I mean, listen.
They're blue bloods, too.
Yeah.
Oh, they rent these houses, and they rent a house for, you know, 2 or 3 months, basically half the summer, sort of Memorial Day to Labor Day or whatever the hell it is. And
for like $500,000 for the summer.
Yeah, they get this house. It's like, it's $150,000 for 3 months. Oh, my God.
Rent.
Oh, my God, that's rent.
Yeah,
that's
friends who used to do
nothing.
That, and they thought they were all fancy, but there would be like 12 of them who went in on a house.
Sure.
And, you know, there'd be 8 of them in the house at a time, and they'd have to split up their weekends.
That's cool.
Oh, it's crazy. But anyway, the point is I was in my hotel room tonight, and I was watching the Lakers game and keeping an eye on the clock and thinking, well, in New York, you know, the Lakers game starts at 7:30 out here.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, all right, well, this will be good because this will be over at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. And then the Crank Yankers begins out here on the East Coast.
Oh.
Seventh game, Lakers, the thing goes to OT.
Almost double OT.
I can't believe Sacramento.
I mean, it's now getting near 11 o'clock and they're still playing. And I'm thinking, you sons of bitches got to go into game 7 and have that go into overtime when my show's premiering. Sons of bitches. How dare they? Why don't I get hold of them Lakers?
Well, it's all right. At least everyone here in Los Angeles isn't going home till about 12 o'clock. They're all at the bars tonight. So
that's right.
Bastards. Yeah, I hope you're happy.
Well, let's get a call to cheer you up. Here's a young lady that's got problems. I know, Adam, you have to contend with this all the time. Kelly's 20.
Kelly?
Yeah?
What's up?
Not much.
This is where you talk.
I have a problem. I've been with a guy for 9 months, and sex is a real big problem for us because every time we try to have sex, it's very, very painful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we've tried everything to get over it. And
have you been to the gynecologist?
Yeah.
What do they say?
Just like to use lubricants and take it slow and.
Morons. Okay. Now, does it ever hurt when you pee?
No.
Okay.
You don't agree with that, the lube thing?
Lube can be fine, but you can have, I mean, there's so many conditions you can have that can make sex painful.
Have you had this with other guys?
No, he's
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and
I've never had this problem before. It's just like he's too big, like, too wide, too long, you know?
I'm the big boy.
We have way more complaints on this show about too big than too small. Too big is really a serious problem for some people. It can be a deal breaker.
Huh? Yeah, we've been having sex for 9 months, like every day, and it's not getting any better.
Do you feel like you're tearing, that kind of feeling? Or is it just uncomfortable?
Where does it hurt? Deep inside, or
what do you mean tearing?
No, because what happens is there's something toward the outside of the vaginal opening called the vestibular, and you can actually re-injure that over and over again, and it's called vestibularitis.
Vestibulitis. You can get vestibulitis. But they would have seen that when they went into their pelvic, though. So they didn't see anything.
What size is this guy's junk?
And every day? I mean, that's going to be painful for anybody.
Yeah, well, we're trying to see if it could stretch out, or,
why not just have a baby?
But I don't know,
no, that's not
going to be.
Kelly sounds incredibly confused.
Yeah, I know.
In general.
How big is your boyfriend?
He's huge.
Can you give us some dimensions?
I haven't measured it.
Oh, they don't know. Women, this is why they can't parallel park. They don't know anything about distance or size.
Yeah, so bad with spatial orientation.
All right, well,
horrible. They're like, my bedroom ceiling is 180 feet tall. It's like, you sure it's not 12 feet? No, it's 180. That's an 18-story building.
We had Kellen Ray's co-star from Sabrina the Teenage Witch in here, and she goes, yeah, my ceiling is 60 feet tall. And I go, 60 feet?
Adam said, no, it's not. And then she got mad at me.
And insisted it was 60 feet. And what's that, eight floors, whatever that is, five floors?
Six, yeah, at least.
Yeah, yeah, that's good times. Well, look, he has a big penis. She's trying to work with the guy. I think she's got to get in a position where she can kind of control the depth and the speed. You know, she can get on top.
We've tried everything, like doggy style, on top.
Yeah. Now, does it hurt? Is it, again, is it deep inside or is it toward the entrance? Like, does it hurt when he's just starting to get in?
Both. The whole time.
So it's everything. Everything inside of
it
you
hurts. Going in, it hurts when it's in. Like, I don't let him, like, move around too much during sex. I just, like, hold on, clench tight, bite into a pillow.
Well, you're also tensing up.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you relax?
Yeah, that's part of it. Is there something emotional going on there where you can't fully...
No, even like, I can...
Shut up! Kennedy's talking! Shut up! Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kennedy.
No, I was almost done. Do you have an issue with him where you're not able to trust him, or there is a part of you that doesn't want to be vulnerable to this guy, so you are not opening up your body and your heart isn't, so your vag isn't either?
Oh, no, I totally trust him.
And this never happened with
any, over that, by the way.
Never happened with any other guys.
Well, everyone else has been like, he's like three times bigger than any guy.
I understand, but you've never had anything like this with anyone else, period.
No.
Okay, well, sometimes we have dealt with relationships that end because of this.
Maybe change your lube. You know, maybe you're allergic to the lube you're using. I don't know.
Some people, there is this mismatch, an anatomic mismatch. Yeah. There is such a thing.
Well, it sounds like this guy would be a mismatch with a sperm whale, too.
Yeah, but some people can sort of deal with it without pain. Or some people like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to say, Kelly. You've tried everything. I go back to your doctor, maybe find another doctor who can help you a little bit with this.
Well,
there's not much
she
can do about
it. She's tried everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, to me, it's like an emotional thing. Like, she's going to have to get some biofeedback or something.
Yeah, but what about having a baby? I mean, at some point, you got to loosen up. Can you do stretching exercises? Can you get a special speculum or something?
Remember, the baby, you rip open and you tear open.
There you go. But then she wouldn't have that problem again, would she?
No. But she still might be uncomfortable even after that.
Kennedy, I think what you're asking for is one of those spring-loaded wooden things you put in your shoe, like your dad.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Well, they actually have these graduated acrylic phalluses that mm-hmm. they make people wear when they're sort of generating a vagina, than the transsexuals, and they wear them all day long and sit on them. And
how did you do with your surgery, Adam? Did you have to use one of those?
When I was generating a vagina?
Yeah.
I did use the graduated acrylic cylinders. They look like a trumpet mute, if you've ever seen a
yes,
trumpet
mute. Yes, I have, actually.
And the sound is almost the same, too, when I queef. I did, yes.
That's funny. Adam, you and I had a conversation as to whether a trumpet was a woodwind or brass, and I believe it's brass.
Oh, I must have said brass.
Yeah, you said brass. I said woodwind because
why?
I played the flute, and I just assumed everything was a woodwind.
Oh.
She was trying to cause trouble. But the point is yes, I used those graduated things when I was forming a vagina, and they work nicely.
Okay. This is Amy, who's 24.
Hi, Dr.
Hey, Amy.
Adam.
Hi, Amy, what's up?
Hey,
okay, I just found out about on Friday that I'm pregnant, and I don't want to keep the baby, and I didn't get in time for that 72-hour pill, and I don't want to go through an abortion, and I'm wondering if there's any other way to...
Yeah, you can just have the baby and give it up for adoption and go through a progressive adoption and find a couple who needs the baby, because there are plenty of people in this world who are looking for healthy babies, especially ones that haven't been born yet.
I know, but with my job and stuff, I can't. I'm just so busy all the time, and I'm not ready for it right now.
You could throw yourself down a flight of stairs and hope you miscarry.
It sounds like you have lots of misconceptions here. What do you, first of all, the 72-hour pill is not an abortion pill that prevents pregnancy.
Right, I understand that, but I took it after I had the unprotected sex, thinking I could catch it in time, but I wasn't soon enough.
How old are you, Amy?
I'm 24.
Oh, okay.
You mean it wasn't 72 hours?
Right.
It was longer than 72 hours.
So the only thing she could be asking about is, are you 486?
I need to know what she means when she says she doesn't want to get an abortion. What does that mean? How can you abort without aborting?
No. I'm wondering if I have to go through that process, or because you have to wait till you're 6 weeks before they'll even see you in the clinic.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, because I don't want to carry it that long. I mean, it's not even anything right now. I was wondering if there's a way that your body can naturally, if there's something you could take, that your body can naturally have a miscarriage without going through an abortion process earlier.
I think how crazy.
If you watch Crank Yankers tonight, the premiere, you may miscarry.
You may burp it up.
So who is this person you had sex with, and how close are you to them?
We're very close. We've been together for 2 years. He's my fiancé.
Does he know you're pregnant?
Yes, he does.
And what does he say about it?
Well, he just supports whatever decision I want to do.
Right. Well, this is a good question, actually, because I completely understand this, which is, you're pregnant, you found out that you're pregnant, you plan on getting an abortion, you don't want to go through the changes that your body starts to undertake, and you don't want to have an attachment to this thing, and by the way, who wants to abort something that's well on its way of becoming something? Wouldn't you rather do it when it's just a pile of mucus? What about it, Drew?
That is an excellent idea. However, the weird misconception here is that somehow out there is something that can, some potions that'll make you abort. I mean, think about that. We wouldn't need abortion clinics, Amy, if there was such a thing, right?
Well, what about RU486?
She should be able to get it from a private physician. She should. If it's somebody who would prescribe it. Not everyone does prescribe it, but why don't you look around?
Okay.
And can you take that at this stage?
I would think so.
Now, are you worried that if you go to 6 weeks that you'll start developing that attachment and that you'll want to have the baby? Is it that you don't want to have it?
No, I mean, I don't. I'm very, I know what my decision is going to be, and I don't want to carry this baby right now. But I just don't want to have to wait the full time before they'll actually take. I mean, I'd rather know, because it's early. I just want it, over with now instead of going through the whole process of the 6 weeks and waiting and then, going through.
Have you had an abortion already?
I've had one, yes.
Was it really hard on you?
Not really. It was when I was in college, so, I mean, I really wasn't, I mean, I don't know. I just don't want to go through that again because I caught it later,
Well, you're a smart 24-year-old. Why aren't you on birth control?
I am on birth control. Well, I was on birth control. I missed my, I didn't pick up my last pill pack, which I should have.
Let me ask the question again. Why aren't you practicing birth control? You're a smart 24-year-old. Abortion is your main means of contraception now.
Oh, how dare you, Drew.
No, because when I had the first one, it's not my main way of contraception, because I had it when I was 17.
And you were in college when you were 17? Very impressive.
Yeah, I graduated early. But I'm just saying, right, I just don't want to go through the hassle of having to wait.
Please answer
the
one question for me, because this is more important probably than anything else, is why aren't you practicing proper contraception?
I just missed my last pill pack.
I understand that's the direct causation.
Oh, Drew.
Wait, this is important because she's going to continue doing this.
She was a little bit lazy. She slipped up. She screwed up.
You can't do that, Amy. You can't do that.
Well, you can do it once every 7 goddamn years, can't you?
With each abortion, her fertility is increasingly threatened.
I would say that, but when you are in your mid-20s and you're getting ready to get married, that it's almost more important, because it seems like you would grow more attached to a baby that's inside of you, as opposed to, you know, when you were 17 and there are a lot more excuses for being irresponsible when you're that age. But it seems like it would be harder on you to have an abortion when you're 24 and, you know.
That may be why she wants to get rid of it quickly.
Yes. Listen, I agree. Amy, look into the RU486.
Okay.
All right.
I am for
good luck. Use your birth control properly. Bye bye.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about this for just one second, because we don't really recognize this as a society. It's like, well, either you abort or you don't. But there's a huge difference to me between aborting something that is almost taking a human form, taking on a human form at this point, and aborting it before basically ever gets off the launching pad, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I mean, why doesn't anyone else recognize this difference?
Because it's like sex in this country. We have so many screwed up notions of abortion, you know, on both sides, on every side of the issue, and it's the same thing with sex. No one wants to have an honest conversation about it. It becomes this politically charged rant from, you know, anyone who's got an opinion on it, and pretty much everybody does.
But how come there's no shades of gray in this country?
Because
of the retarded religious right?
Because everyone is, it's not just the religious right, though. It's the extreme left also. And everybody on every side of the abortion issue is so irresponsible. I don't care if you're all for it or if you're dead set against it. And that actually keeps us from having honest discussions about health and sex and reproduction.
I think, Adam, one of the things that keeps them from having the discussion you're asking for is that they start arguing about when it's okay and when it isn't, and that becomes
an interminable argument.
When the sperm hits the egg, that's life. Let's just agree there. Just for the sake of discussion.
No.
And then we never get anywhere else.
Well, let me tell you something. The religious right has an endless supply of arguments for stuff that don't make sense. That's the basis of their life. You know, I mean, they're basically living, they spend their whole life arguing something that doesn't exist, basically, and trying to convince people that don't care.
The left does it too.
And the left.
Yeah, but how could you say that about?
Justice is idiotic. Look, here's the way it is. If you have, and I don't understand, as an atheist, I see everything in just shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody
gets pregnant, you haven't read Anselm's ontological argument.
I just shut her mic for a second. If you have a miscarriage at 6 weeks or 8 weeks or 10 weeks, that's an uncomfortable thing, but it's not as bad as it is at 5 months or at 6 months, which isn't as bad as it is on delivery, a stillborn, which isn't as bad as your kid dying on its second birthday, which isn't as bad as your kid dying when he graduates high school at 17 or 18. It's real easy math to me. It really is. I mean, it just starts and it keeps getting worse, and then eventually it starts going the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Better they should die at 32 than at
95.
Or worse, they should, you know what I'm saying?
Yes,
eventually it starts dropping off as they get into their 20s or 30s and you wish they were dead. But the point is an abortion at the 3-week mark, to me, is like a blip on the radar. It's like nothing.
All right.
That's a tremor. And a full-blown 8.0 Nagasaki-type tidal wave monsoon earthquake, that is at, you know, 6 months. That's ugly. That's a mess. What? Doesn't everyone see it that way?
Speaking of ugly, we got to go to break.
No, listen to me.
Yes, we
don't
see it that way.
Don't you see it that way?
Yeah, I see it that way.
But, you do,
but,
Drew.
But you can't have a clear argument about it without...
I absolutely can. Idiots. All right, listen, some of you religious tards, call the show, I beg you. And put down your Bible and your rosary beads and call the show and try to convince me otherwise, you tards. And we'll
try
be right back.
Oh, God.
Yeah? Yeah, go ahead. Call the night.
All right.
Yes, I agree.
And we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm in New York tonight. Dr. Drew in L.A. at the Loveline home base. Kennedy is our guest tonight. Friend or Foe is the name for a new show Monday night on
it's
the Game,
game show
Network. Yeah, it's a game show. It's on that Game Show Network. It's at 10:30.
How's the Crankeggers in there? Are they watching it?
Oh, that's a delightful show.
They're just roaring with laughter in there. Roaring. You know how they normally get into this stuff.
Groundbreaking television at Crank Yankers. You know what's funny? We've been getting really good reviews, and then we got a really crappy review in the Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah.
And all these guys were like hemming and hawing about it, Daniel and my agent and all that kind of stuff. And I told them, hey, guys, no human being outside of the industry reads this. You don't understand. Is it weird when you get caught up in all this stuff? I mean, Kennedy, Andrew. You don't realize nobody you know looks at the Hollywood Reporter Daily Variety.
The problem with the Hollywood Reporter and the Daily Variety is people who make decisions about the future of your show are so suggestible and so terrified about keeping their jobs.
Okay, he feels much better. Better now. Kenny, thank you for sharing that little tidbit with him.
They actually do read the Hollywood Reporter.
Adam is a very delicate eagle. Leave him alone.
They do.
Everyone now knows about it since you talked about it.
Anderson.
Go look it up. Get it on the web. Will you pull it up? I want to see this article.
Everyone write all you want about anything. As you know, Drew, it has
Aren't you supposed
no
to not
effect.
Read your own reviews? Isn't that sort of...
I never read any of them. I haven't read any of them.
Well, Man Show got glowing reviews.
Crank Anchor's got only -3 stars, I heard.
-3?
It's much better.
So you have -9 now total?
No, actually, I got, I'm only -6 because the New York Post gave it 2 stars. I was -8 stars.
I do love this show, though.
Well, thank you, Anderson.
Thank you. There you go.
Is it on? Is it really on? Can you see it?
Yeah, they're watching.
Aren't they cute?
And Anderson is very discerning when it comes to the arts.
Thank you. Here's an abortion comment for you, Adam. Here we go. Andrew is 14. Hi, Andrew.
Andrew?
Yeah. Yeah.
Still, you're 14?
Mm-hmm.
Still not too late when I'm in charge.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I don't agree with abortion as a means of contraceptive like a lot of people think it is.
Right. Okay, but give us a good argument here. We don't want to hear just your belief. We appreciate that, but we want an argument that's going to change Adam.
It shouldn't be used as a means of contraceptive. I believe
contraception.
Yeah. Oh, let him go. Go ahead,
Andrew. It's okay if it's used, like, say, if a woman's raped or something, then I believe it would be okay because she had no choice in the matter.
Well, let's take the full extent of this argument and look at the fact that most people that argue against abortion would say that you're trying to protect the life of a child, and if that's really the philosophy here, how is it the child's fault that it was the product of a rape? Wouldn't it still be saving a life? What is rape, the quality of rape?
Yeah, there are contradictions in that argument.
Although it's awful for the woman.
Right.
And what is her obligation to see something like that through after a rape, no doubt. But in terms of the logic of trying to protect a child's life, well, what difference does it make where the child was conceived from?
It doesn't. Yeah. It's more about punishment, Drew, as you know, with the religious folks. And Drew, look up contraception, would you? Because I don't think you can technically use abortion as a means of contraception, because I think
once you've conceived, there's no such thing as contraception.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
All right, here we go. Look it up. But first, let's take...
The left-wingers may want to point that out to the right-wingers.
Jason is 24.
As part of their argument.
Hello?
Hey. Go ahead, Jason.
I've been married for about a year now. I got married on the 16th of May. And...
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Sex life could be better, and... I was just wondering, because my wife's favorite movie is Gone with the Wind, and I don't know if you guys have seen the movie. In the movie, main character Rhett Butler ends up forcing sex upon his wife Scarlett after they get married.
Now, that's right.
You know what?
Is that considered rape nowadays?
This is kind of a heady discussion. I think we ought to start maybe the next hour with. But the fact is, how does a male know when a woman wants to be swept away?
Mm-hmm.
versus when he's being forceful and actually...
Yeah, when do you draw the lines, especially when you're married?
How do guys know that? How do men... Because men, we're pretty lame.
Yeah.
And we already have bad judgment about sex. How do we figure this one out?
Well, it's not, really not hard. Only...
Well, when,
not
is,
only
a, when is a woman... Because there are women who are turned on when... And there are guys who are turned on when their girlfriends pretend like they're sleeping.
And most women have some sort of swept away fantasy.
Yeah.
And
not only that, but... A lot of women, or some women, will actually get caught up in the swept away thing and then the next day feel like they've been taken advantage of.
That's right.
And be angry about that.
One question I would have is, has your wife ever
been... when you're married...
Has your wife ever been victimized before? Ever?
When she was younger.
Okay. Do not do this to her. Do not do it. You will regret it. It will trigger a million... problems, but do get her some treatment for the previous victimization, because that's probably why her ambivalence about sex is sort of occurring now.
And and don't get that pony for your daughter, because remember that part, a little kid fell on his head
in the Gone with the Wind.
Contraception,
deliberate prevention of conception or impregnation.
Mm.
So you're right.
Yeah.
Adam.
See, you cannot use abortion as a form of contraception, right?
Right.
Or contraceptive.
Thank you.
All right.
That's right. Let's take a little break here. Kennedy, the Virgin Kennedy.
Not me. I'm married now. 2 years.
The anal Kennedy.
2 years.
Friend or foe, everybody, Monday night on the Game Show Network.
2 years of splitting the poop hole.
Oh, my God.
Got married on Adam's birthday.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. You just,
an anniversary.
Yep. Here we go.
I'm going to make sure and forget that next year. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. I'm out here in New York tonight. Dr. Drew is back there in L.A. He's with the fabulous Kennedy. Kennedy has herself a new show. It's called Friend or Foe. Monday nights, Game Show Network, 10:30. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And Kennedy?
Adam.
How do you like that Game Show Network?
It's so much fun. Everyone there is really nice, and I love all the old game shows. We were watching Pressure Luck tonight, my husband Dave and I, and after the game. And
instead of Crank Yankers?
It was over. Oh. Crank Yankers was over, because by the time the game was finished, it was,
right,
it was
right.
8 o'clock. Because
yeah.
we had to watch the wrap-ups and watch Rick Fox and his cap teeth, the fruit. All those Lakers, they just deserve to go to hell.
Yeah. Listen, I'm...
I know you were born and raised here, Adam.
No, you know what I was, but let me tell you the kind of individual I am. The Lakers have won enough. They've done enough winning. Sacramento has never won an NBA championship.
Such heart. And it's nice to see a team. Like, not just two guys and three other guys that kind of sit on their asses and knit during a game, but a team. And they're so conscious of where the other players are.
Next year.
Really
that's their year.
I'm with you. Now I'm going to be born and bred in L.A., sitting home rooting for the Nets.
Oh, really? Are you really?
Series.
Really, will you?
Well,
any team that's going to beat the Lakers.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me just say why, Drew. Because the Nets have never won an NBA championship. I guess they won something in the CBA or something like that, 35 years ago. But you have one team that never has had a championship, and you have another team that has, 11.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So who are you going to root for?
Lakers.
You want the team to get a fair weather fan.
That's my problem with the LA fans.
I think this is their last year, and this is it.
Next year, if they don't make the playoffs, will people still have the Laker flags on their cars? No. But you go to Portland, you go to Trailblazer Country, and people have all their Blazers paraphernalia all over their houses and their cars, and it's like having a pregnant teenage daughter. Love her, you just don't want to bring her up in conversation.
No, they're too baked to get out there and take it off the car.
You know what? A lot of them are diabetic, Adam.
And it's raining, they don't want to go out to the car while it's raining.
Exactly.
This is how bad the Laker fans are. They're like the flags. I see the flags on the cars during the game. I was at a bar today. The game's on. And there's people driving by with the flags. It's like, why aren't you watching the goddamn game? If you're a fan, you got flags on your car. You're not watching the game.
All right, let's get on to calls.
It's a good point.
We have some.
It's a good
calls.
Point.
Thank you, Anderson.
I still want
to. So, Drew, you'd like to see the Lakers win their 13th instead of the Nets win their first.
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
Last one.
Let me see where you're at.
Let's. We still have tackled that problem. How guys know when a woman wants to be swept away as opposed to when it's a rape. But let's talk to Tyler first. Who's 16?
Hello. I called on Thursday and.
What a voice! Is there more testosterone in the drinking water than there used to be? You're like the second underage young man that's called that is
turning Hannity on. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm in a lather.
I'm sorry. I'm pretty mature for my age, but Dr. Drew, you told me that I had dystonia that I should go see a neurologist.
Yeah, the back thing and all, right? The arching back.
Yeah,
oh, oof.
That was me. Yeah, I actually read up on it, and
is
I have...
really named after an Eastern European country?
No, dystonia, not Estonia.
I have tardive dystonia.
Yeah, doesn't it sound like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, very much so.
And do you read about what causes it and stuff?
Yeah, and I believe it was actually from the toxins.
No, it's not toxins, it's from the drugs. Trust me, it's from the drugs.
No,
what
toxins,
drugs?
Toxins are drugs, correct?
Right, but people want to say people a lot of drug users will say, well, it must have been cut with some toxin. No, it's the drugs. It is the drugs that do.
What drugs were you doing?
Mushrooms and pot. Those were my two favorite drugs.
How can you have toxins in mushrooms and pot? It's the good Lord wouldn't have put them on this earth, Dr. Drew, unless they were to be consumed.
I'm sorry.
Am I right?
Actually, hang on a second, Tyler. One second. They were put on the earth to protect the plants from being consumed, so any mammal that came up and ate them would have such an unpleasant reaction that they would not touch that plant anymore.
Mm.
That's eye-opening
mystical experience.
I understand, but that's what the plants are trying to develop is protective chemicals. So.
Venus flytrap. That's protection. Mushroom psilocybin, not protection. Good time on a Saturday night.
And
frozen cow pie though.
Yeah, but like from the research that I've done about natural drugs, they're not as addictive as synthetic drugs, but they harm the mind more.
I don't think you can generalize quite that much. Mushrooms, I agree with you for sure. For pot, when it's addictive, it is profoundly addictive. It is very difficult.
Boy, I'll say, and any of you that say the pot's not addictive, Jesus, Mary and Joseph, spend a morning with a marijuana addict who hasn't smoked yet.
Like Dave, your husband, the
Dave
snowboarder.
Dave doesn't smoke pot.
He snowboards.
He is a snowboarder, but someone asked him once if he smoked pot, and he used a line from Pulp Fiction. Well, my wife's a vegetarian, which pretty much makes me a vegetarian.
So that means he used to smoke a lot of pot. Tyler, so what's going on there?
Okay, I don't know. During that last week, I've been having really big ups and downs, and I went to my rehab class.
Oh, good.
I was talking with my counselor about all the things and all the stuff that was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a sign for relapse.
Mm.
And I was kind of concerned, and I got a little bit of help, but Friday night, I started to feel really depressed, and I wanted to go out and use.
Right, but yes, absolutely, that the swings and the brain process you go through in early recovery does put you at risk for relapse, because eventually you start feeling, oh, screw it, I can't go through this anymore, I've got to have some relief, or you kind of think to yourself, all right, if I just get an hour of relief, or 10 minutes, or 3 hours, I'll be fine, I'll go back to my recovery program.
Do people really think that way, though?
Oh,
I mean,
like
don't
crazy.
They, isn't that one of the first things you learn in recovery is that you can't
you remember this, they're primitive mechanisms that just distort thinking.
From what my sponsor told me, our disease is cunning, hideous, and baffling.
That's right.
And I agree wholeheartedly with him, but the thing is that from what I've, there's a lot of people in recovery with me,
mm-hmm.
and they all say that they went to the doctor and they gave them some kind of a medication, but they don't like it, but it helps.
Well, Tyler, how many weeks or days are you into this?
I believe today would be 109.
Well, what happens sometimes about 3 months is, was pot the main drug? You can really get a severe depression that first 6 months. And in fact, it's good that you're with people that are supportive, but I would recommend you strongly see someone who's used to treating marijuana addiction, because it turns out there's a very high incidence of suicide in the first 6 months.
That's why there's so many suicides in Oregon.
The clouds in the pot. And it's important that you see a doctor who's used to treating this, because sometimes it is necessary to take something to support the chemicals, at least during that six-month period. Otherwise, it sounds like you're doing exactly the right thing of relying on your support from sober peers, talking to your sponsor, and following directions. All you got to do is follow
directions. And what
else,
Adam? Chronic masturbation.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up, Kennedy.
It's for you.
It's true. It's a very healthy outlet.
Adam, what were you just doing?
You trade your
ball. We're not listening. Whatever you were doing, you were not listening to us. What were you doing?
I was listening. I was sitting here. I was
sleeping, eating.
Your knowledge.
I see.
I was just saying, please, when will it end? When will it end? Ramp it up.
That's kind of what I thought you were talking about. Thinking about.
Yeah.
Poor Tyler.
Right.
Hang in there, buddy.
Tyler sounds
good. Got 109 days.
Tyler is doing great. Tyler,
very, very smart 16-year-old.
It is never a straight
His
line.
His parents should be proud.
John, 16.
Hey.
It's never a straight line to recovery, though. It's very always rocky. What's up, John? 16.
Hey, yeah. I've been going out with this girl for a month and a half. Oh, no, a year and a half, sorry. And I'm falling completely in love with her.
You've been out with her how long?
A year and a half.
And just now you fell in love with her?
No, I've been in love with her for a long time.
How old is she?
She's 16.
All right.
And
good story so far.
Good times.
Yeah. Right. Everyone's telling me, you know, that, you know, I don't want to screw up my dating years in the high school, right?
Mm.
And I don't know what I should do because, you know, I think, you know, she could be the one, you know, that I might want to marry.
Sure, why not? You know, 17, that's when I got married for the first time.
You're going to go to college, John, aren't you?
Oh, right, but I know you're gonna give me the same thing as my friends, you know, but...
No, I'm not going to give you anything. I just want to know you're going to go to college, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, don't get married before you go to college.
Right, right.
And don't make a decision about where you go to college based on this relationship.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And then we'll see where the cards fall.
But you know what, John? I have to say this. If you do completely get your heart broken when you're 16, it'll really save you. It's like a stitch in time because you'll get to spend your late teens and early 20s completely bitter and get a whole jump on the game.
The bitter thing.
Yeah. So you don't have to wait till your mid-20s.
It's more about knowing how to end a relationship. You know, I mean, he's kind of musing with the idea, maybe I ought to be out of this, but it'll go another year and a half before he ends.
Well,
he
said he was completely in love with her.
All right.
He's just
but
worried
that
about...
that young love is so beautiful. I wouldn't tell him to run away from that.
No,
I mean, don't screw up the rest of your life by getting married and getting her pregnant. But certainly, like, your heart is never as pure as when you fall in love for the first time when you're a teenager. Because I think that you can experience real love. And sometimes it's purer than the love you experience as an adult because you do become bitter and you're so guarded.
It's more fantasy driven.
Yeah.
It's more intense.
It's pure in a sort of Hollywood conception of what
Romeo
and Juliet.
I think back to
David and Kennedy barely talk to each other now.
That's not true.
Well
they exchange angry glances. I mean, let's be fair.
David, what
talk.
Have you been telling Dr. Drew? Jesus.
He won't even look at you. Look at that.
No, he's probably watching TV.
He is watching something.
He and I suffer from the same disorder that is the opposite of Adam, where if there's something on TV, we can't hear anyone else in the world. He does the same thing when he plays guitar. But
I'm writing a book.
Really?
Are you?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
With Judith Regan about my experiences taking care of addicts and stuff. It's very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Wayne, shut up. Wayne, here's somebody for you. I'm offended.
Talk off the air, you two, please. Frank Yankers, everybody.
Followed by Friend or Foe, Monday through Friday on the Game Show.
Here is Wayne, who has a response. He is 28. He wants to talk to Adam about Adam's lack of any spiritual connection, right?
Wayne? All right. Go ahead, Wayne.
It's actually Kevin.
No. Oh. All right, but they put it down as Wayne, but go ahead.
But that's fine.
Wayne's a gay name, but I like it.
Kevin Strader. Hold on. What name is gayer, Wayne or Toby?
Oh, that's a toss-up.
You know
Toby might be...
Charlene, Toby's gayer.
I'm sorry, Toby is gayer.
Yeah, Toby is gay because Toby can be a cute girl's name, too. And anytime, like, Stacy, Toby, Lindsay, those can all be girls' names, and those are all gay.
Very much so.
Go ahead,
In a
Kevin.
Good way, but I love the gay.
Adam. Yeah. My point is mainly to you. And the comment that you made about the fact that 2-3 weeks into a pregnancy, that it is better and more okay to abort that child and abort that life as it is to 6 months down the road.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, when conception starts is when life begins. Mm. Therefore, life is still life 3 weeks, 2 minutes, 6 months into it. And right. any way you slice it or dice it, you're still killing something.
Can I ask you something, though, Wayne?
You're gay.
Kevin.
Thank Kevin, you. Whatever. I don't care. Kevin, let me ask you this. Now, there are a lot of theists who think that a human soul is created before even the cells come together in the first place, before the weenus ever enters the vajuju, that there is a life of its own that exists in a different realm. Now, if you're not sleeping with as many people as possible, trying to make that connection, bring that child, that soul into the world, aren't you doing the Lord God a disservice?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to just say, hang on a second, but you're into math, Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
The math doesn't work on that one for me. There's 6 billion people in the world now, and there was 100 million at one time. And
mm-hmm.
Right.
Were all those souls waiting out there? And what about the 6 billion that are coming out?
Could be.
I'll tell you the math that doesn't work for me is everyone who came back was nobility.
Yeah, don't you love that? I had a psychic tell me that I was a 13th century queen in India, but everyone was Queen Elizabeth. And,
Right. What was the serf to nobility ratio back then?
No one was ever. Well, you were a potato farmer during the famine in Ireland, and you had a miserable existence.
In fact, we really want to talk about reality. Only about 10% of people got out of childhood.
Yes.
So most of souls have died.
That is so true. I mean, very few people made it past the age of 15.
Someone to be the village idiot?
Yeah.
Yes, you were the villain.
You were in the
Hampton.
Yes, you were.
We ended up. You were stoned because you killed a young child.
All right, but Kevin, I'll get back to your argument. Kevin, I can argue. Kevin, I can argue with you on this. So I'm going to clarify some stuff. All right, not against you, but alongside of you.
Okay.
The issue of life being the same at 6 weeks versus 6 months would basically argue that a slug is the same as a cat is the same as a human.
Hmm.
That they're all life.
They're all different.
So therefore, you can't kill anything, even an amoeba, because that's living.
Can't take antibiotics.
Can't kill bacteria. Can't do antibiotics.
True.
Wait, hang on.
Antibiotics is not that
different. Why?
Because that's. But be that as may. You're saying life is life.
No, but that's true because if it is about consciousness. But if it is about consciousness, you could argue that the snail and the termite and the bacteria they all have
some sort
of consciousness.
But where do you draw the line with life?
Well, that's why I want Kevin to clarify.
Hold on, you retards. He called and asked me a goddamn question.
But, yeah, Adam, hang one second. I think, Wayne, what you mean to say...
I'm going
to
take a leak.
Go ahead. Goodbye. Yeah, Kevin,
I think we'll get farther.
I think what you mean to say is that there's potential human here, and that the potential is the same at all stages of development, and there's not any doubt about it turning into an amoeba or into a donkey or into a mule. It is going to be, categorically will be, a human being and a human life. Even though it may not, in fact, be at that stage when it's an amoeba or
Well, okay, I see where you're going. I think where I'm coming from is like, okay, imagine popping a seed in the ground and it starts to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that plant that's growing because it hasn't blossomed yet?
Like, is an acorn still as valuable as an oak tree?
Like, it's still I'm trying to use it as an analogy for it's still life.
Yeah,
and
but
I'm not saying that I can't step on a snail or that I can't kill an ant.
Okay, no, I think
about people here.
You could
right,
say it's life.
Life,
however,
it's a human life.
You know, the argument is valid that as much as you have something biological going on, you also have something emotional going on, and there's much more of an emotional attachment to something that has either A, been in your body longer or been outside of your body longer.
Emotionally speaking, you may very well be correct, but biologically speaking, it's still a life, and when we're talking about human life,
it's human life.
But it's not just a biological argument, because you bring in, you know, people who argue against abortion also bring in spirituality, which is, you know, that is such an emotionally charged issue for most people that they can't separate like biological facts from, you know, this emotional fundamentalism.
All right, Ken, we got to move on here. I'm afraid we spent a lot of time on it, and Adam didn't listen to any of this discussion. He left the room. So,
well, I would figure so.
He was obviously
really
threatened by this.
Said something to me about it, but that's okay. I appreciate you guys' input. And
wish what?
I said, I wish he would have had some more logical input.
He didn't want to be...
I think Kevin wants to be abused. He wants to get the smackdown from Daddy. You shouldn't need an hour.
Tammy's 20. Tammy?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
We're good. What's up?
Hi, Tammy.
Hi. The other day, I was with my boyfriend, and we were kissing, and then he started to kiss my ear, and then he started kissing my stomach, and he was going his way down, and I thought I was hyperventilating, but I wasn't. My hands started going numb, and so did my mouth.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? How did you think you were hyperventilating, but not?
Well, I thought, I checked my breathing to make sure that I wasn't hyperventilating, because I thought maybe I was just getting lightheaded or something.
All you have to do is breathe one more time per minute than your body needs, and you'll start to get numb.
Or you could be depriving your brain and your extremities of oxygen, because, like, when you're in a tense situation and you tend to hold your breath a little bit, it's just a natural reaction. Like, I do this. When I'm nervous about something, I'll feel my lips kind of tingle, and then I realize that I'm not breathing. It's not that you're over-breathing. You might have not been breathing before. Or you kind of checked your own breath and then started to breathe again.
Oh, okay.
Or breathing a little bit more than you should have and getting off that CO2.
Yeah, I was just... And this has happened to me before.
You're just getting excited.
It's fine. Yeah. No problem.
And those are good times. It's your body saying hello.
Okay.
And about the girl who called about the abortion thing.
Yeah.
I didn't find out I was pregnant until I was 5 weeks. And so it's not like it's going to take her forever. For the 6 weeks, like personally, I think that I would go by so fast and she wouldn't even notice. So I'd say to her that she shouldn't even worry about the whole 6 weeks. Yeah, you shouldn't get attached at all.
Man, well, instead of having all of this unprotected intercourse, you guys should be watching Friend or Foe on the Game Show Network, which premieres tomorrow night at 10:30.
Mike 19.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good. What's up, Mike?
I actually have two questions, if that's okay. First one is my girlfriend. She's on birth control pills, and her parents found out. Now they're making her take like a blood test or a urine test or something.
For what?
Does it show up? Like,
no.
Is there any way they can find out?
Not really.
I think it's just a threat. I think they want her to admit that she's having sex so they can. How old is she?
She's 17, actually.
Yeah, they're trying to exhibit the last amount of control that they possibly can before she becomes an adult, and they're just trying to scare her into saying that she is having sex.
Well, they're actually taking her tomorrow.
Anything that goes on between her and her doctor can be confidential, so, yeah. Okay. You know, this just sounds like a crazy situation. I don't know quite what they're trying to get at or what their concern is. They may just be worried about her having sex. And they should certainly sit down and talk to her and for speaking to a doctor about it. That's all fine. It's all good. It's all fine. Just as long as they, in fact, do get somebody else involved and don't get abusive towards her.
These are some of the problems that we have. Obviously, if your 17-year-old daughter is having sex, you didn't do the job that you wanted to do early enough. Like, you didn't get the message across that you wanted to. Why punish kids now when they're already doing the things that they're doing? It's like parents who administer the home drug tests.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why didn't you worry about this before your child became an alcoholic? Like, why didn't you look at the warning signs and talk to your kids? Why is it always punitive?
Mm-hmm. Good point. Kennedy. Friend or Foe is the show. It is 10:30 Monday night.
We've lost Adam.
Adam is gone.
We miss him.
I'm here.
Oh, you're back. I thought you went to take a pee, did you?
I did. I just came back. Cool. There you go.
Well, we're going to take another break because I'm going to take a pee now, all right?
Hey, this is the fourth time Drew has peed. I'm worried about his prostate.
No, this is the way it works.
I have trigonitis.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. I'm in New York. That's Dr. Drew. He's in L.A.
When are you back
here? Kennedy.
Yeah.
What?
When are you back here? I'm sorry.
All right, let me finish.
Hey, I can't see you. It's not as easy to, judge when you're
finish the goddamn name Kennedy before you jump in.
Two ends.
All right. All right. Friend or foe, everybody.
Suck my
Monday
white
night.
Yes, Anderson. Nice.
Monday night, Game Show Network, 10:30. I am back there Tuesday morning, or Tuesday afternoon, or some ungodly time.
I'm sorry I didn't get
Tuesday.
To see you in person, Adam.
I am sorry as well, Kennedy.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Adam.
All right. Yeah, Drew, go ahead. You may speak now.
It's okay now? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. This is Jason, who's 23.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Drew.
Jason.
Hi, Kennedy.
Hi, Jason.
My general question, Adam, is do you believe in the soul?
No, I don't.
Kennedy, stop. Just hold back. Whatever. Kennedy's taking philosophy classes now. She's filled with arguments.
I'm a philosophy major.
Here's the deal. We as human beings, we're aware that we're aware of our immortality, basically, and it's way too much for us to process. And stop eating into the microphone, Kenny.
Oh, they're peanut M&Ms.
Don't eat
this
into
portion
the microphone.
Of Loveline, brought to you by.
So we can't handle finality of our life. I mean, it's not infinite, you know. It's going to end, and it freaks us out, and so we invent a whole bunch of stuff, you know.
Well, we can't handle much anything besides
right.
That.
That's my point.
I disagree with you, Adam. I disagree with you on every level, and I think your argument for atheism is about the weakest I've ever heard.
Oh, please. I don't need an argument as an atheist. That's just the point.
Yeah, he's just being lazy on religion.
No, I'm not being a coward like the rest of you guys. You guys are simpleton cowards. I mean, I heard Ronald Reagan being interviewed.
So you think that Freud and Marx were onto something? That Freud said that as soon as human beings were cured of all neuroses, we would be free of religion?
Yes, absolutely.
That's such malarkey. It is actually...
Why do we get religion? I mean, what about the cows? What about them? What do they have?
Cows weren't given the ability to reason.
And what about all... Yeah, that's right. That's right. They couldn't come up with something. They couldn't come up with an out. They couldn't justify it. They see one of their family members die, and they don't have to get their mind around it like we do. We got to figure something out because we could be next, and it freaks everybody out. I mean, let's face it. Just call it what it is. People are scared. They're simple. They're freaked out. They can't handle the idea.
You say they're simple, but actually the need for religion is very complex. And even if you take mysticism, which does not have to do with religion, but has to do with a unifying experience that is in a totally different state of consciousness, how could something like mysticism be the same and the accounts of it be the exact same from different regions at the same time?
We all have human
throughout the world.
All the brains function.
Yeah.
It may be a part of brain function, but what the consciousness alters into, like the mystical state and what it actually becomes, how could it be so uniform throughout every culture and every religion? I mean, shamanism, Hinduism.
It's uniform because we're all scared of death. That's why
but
the whole
nothing.
You're Kennedy, Matthew 25.
Kennedy?
Mm-hmm.
Missed you up here in Seattle.
Miss you too, Matthew.
Wondering if you ever missed in the radio show.
I do. I miss the buzz. It was fun. I had such a good time doing that show.
I don't like this guy, BJ Shea. I miss you.
I miss you too, Matthew.
Hey, Adam.
Whatever.
I totally agree with you about it should be go and stop driving instead of stop and go.
Yeah, it should be.
What? Was that on Stern this morning or something?
No, I was saying, it was probably during a man show bit that they always talk, all these oil commercials, they always talk about stop and go driving.
Yeah.
It should be go and stop driving.
It doesn't have the same flow.
Yeah.
The words.
Yeah, I think we're just used to stop and go, but how do you stop?
Like
you
Adam and
going.
Drew sounds more natural than Drew and Adam.
Right,
you know,
I'm just saying it should be go and stop driving, and you can't say abortion is a means of contraception.
Josh
Thank
is 15,
you.
Yes.
Hello?
Josh.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, Dr. Drew, you're awesome.
Thanks,
and Adam, I love you like a brother.
Thank you.
Not like related brothers, but the way black people have brothers. It's more important.
Yeah.
Black people aren't the only people who have brothers. Just so you know, Josh.
But it's the only acceptable brother, non-blood brother.
Go, Josh. What's the question?
Well, I have a larger penis for my size. I was wondering when it would stop growing, at what age.
What are your dimensions? How tall are you, and how tall is the penis?
I'm 5'5", and it's 10 inches erect.
Oh, please.
really?
No. Yeah.
Can you send us a picture online before the show's over?
Yeah.
Excuse me? I didn't hear that.
Can you snap a photo online before the show's over?
Yeah.
And send it to us?
Oh, no, I don't have a digital camera.
Sure. All right.
Darn it.
All right. Not
Darn
with a wide
it.
Enough lens.
Right. 21. Age 21 is when the males stop their growth. So there you go. This looks interesting. This is Tanya, who's 20. Tanya?
Hello.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on?
I don't know if it's normal, but I don't feel comfortable with the lights on when I'm having intercourse with my husband.
Is that something new or something happened to you?
No. It's always been.
You're fast.
Huh?
No, Dr. go ahead.
Drew, why would you say something like that to her?
No, I was 106 pounds. Right now I'm pregnant, but even before I was pregnant, it was the same way. 106 pounds by foot. I'm not fat.
Yeah, I know, Tanya. But you've always felt uncomfortable showing yourself in front of your husband.
Yeah.
Kennedy?
Does he like it with the lights on?
Yeah, he does. Very much so.
Well, you know what? Go 50-50 and just act like you're a stripper. Indulge his fantasy. You know what? You'll stay married a lot longer.
Really?
Absolutely. You have to indulge the other person's fantasy. And I mean, it's part of compromise.
Hmm.
Yes, you have to compromise.
How's that a compromise? It's not a compromise.
Well,
it's
a compromise. No, it's a compromise for her because she's compromising her comfortableness.
So what does he do to compromise the other direction for her?
He does it with the lights off 75% of the time.
Got it.
Then she does the occasional lights on with a big booby dance and the tassels and a 12-inch mule up her. Hello.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Corey, 17.
Kennedy?
Corey?
Yeah, just wondering how you started into the game show thing.
Well, I met with some producers at the Game Show Network, and they had a really cool idea for a show that I hadn't heard before. And
then they also put in this show.
Yeah, exactly. No, I met with Tim and Jenny and Paul, and they felt that I was right for the show, and they were already guaranteed to have the show on the air, which is rare, because usually when you meet with someone, you do a pilot, and there's a year of hemming and hawing, but this was something where, you know, I met with them, and a couple weeks later, we were taping, so they were nice.
Cool. Adam, you still there?
Yep.
Oh, you're drinking to the mic.
I'm not drinking to the mic.
Adam.
I'm just relaxing. Just go ahead.
Come on. Get with it.
It's hard to talk. It really is.
Why?
Because we can't get our, you guys, every I start talking, you guys start talking, it's not working right.
So I won't talk. You go ahead and talk.
No,
we won't talk. No, we're not talking.
Well, now I'm not talking either, so you better talk. I don't want to talk over you guys.
Go ahead.
You don't want to talk over me, so go ahead. Take a call, Drew.
It's late.
Jenny. Whoops, wrong line. We're doing good. Jenny, 24.
Yes. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for even taking my call. And I just recently found out about a month ago that I have herpes.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the doctor to confirm it. I found sores and went to the doctor. And got the blood test back and everything. I'm negative for everything else. Mm. He did tests on everything.
Did he culture the wounds, the sores?
Yes, they did. He did.
So the virus grew out of the culture?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's that.
Yeah.
All right.
Can you get pregnant from having herpes?
No.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Oh, Adam says yes.
This is vaginal herpes?
Yes.
All right. So now what's the question?
Okay. The question is, I talked to the person that I thought gave it to me, and he went to the doctor and everything, and he doesn't have any problems. So
doesn't that mean he just may not be having an outbreak right now?
Or he may have had one outbreak.
What I'm wanting to know is, could I have had this for
how do you guys like it?
Or 2 years and not have known it?
Can you have had it for 2 years? Absolutely. Most women that have herpes actually don't know they have it. Or when they discovered that they have it, it was long after they actually contracted
it. It is so dark in there.
It's dark in there, and you might think it was a yeast infection or something. It can easily be missed. Now, the same thing can happen to a guy, though it's less likely to. A guy can have an initial outbreak, not really realize what it is, and it goes away, and nothing really comes back,
mm-hmm.
and he can still be infectious.
Do you have a boyfriend, Jenny?
No.
No, you're single right now?
It's a casual kind of sex thing.
Mm.
What part of Indiana are you from?
Western? Yeah.
Tankerville?
I'm from southern Indiana.
You are?
A lot
are
of
you?
Girls there have herpes. Yep.
Yeah.
So Kennedy's telling us something.
Seymour. I don't have herpes, okay? I don't have herpes. I did not have intercourse.
Wait, you were
until,
from Indiana?
Yeah. That's where
until you were two or something?
Yes, my parents moved to Oregon when I was young. But I go back every summer to see Grandma.
Where?
Brownstown. Hmm. Jackson County. Woohoo!
The Lincoln Territory where he grew up?
No, isn't he from Illinois?
He went Kentucky, Indiana, and then Illinois.
Did he go by way of Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln was a Hoosier?
Mm-hmm. For a little while. He had a Hoosier
Kennedy,
accent.
Don't you go there for the herpes parade every year?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I try and kiss someone who's got an outbreak just to see if I can get the genital kind on my mouth. But so far, unsuccessful.
Good times. Megan is 20, right?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. I'm kind of going through this thing where everybody that I know is married or pregnant and living with their boyfriend and or just at a completely different state in life than I am, and I'm really having a hard time relating to people.
Where are you?
And
what's your stage?
Well, I just got back from China a month ago, and I've been living in Asia actually doing, like, mission work.
Did you get your feet bound? Because I hear that's
big
over there.
No, I didn't.
Are you Mormon?
No, not at all.
You don't need to insult her intelligence, Dr.
No, she
Drew.
Said she was doing mission work.
But she's not a Mormon.
No, I'm not a Mormon, please. And I'm a Christian, but I could say things about abortion that are absolutely nothing like the crap people have been saying tonight.
So you were doing mission work in China.
Yeah.
And you have the sort of simpleton friends who are getting pregnant and shacking up at the age of 20, 19, 21. All right, so that's not where you're at.
Yeah, but it's just so hard because I'm here and I don't connect with anybody.
Why?
Well, you gotta make new friends.
That's my first thought is go out and find people who are interested in the things that you're interested in. And if you're vaguely interested in certain things, become more interested in them so you find other people who do what you like to do, whatever it is, because sitting around having kids and moving in with people at 20 doesn't sound like that's your cup of tea.
No, but I do that. Like, I'm an outgoing person. I'm a friendly person. I have, like, met people. But honestly, like, I just feel so disconnected from life.
Why? What? Explain that to me a little more. I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
I don't know. Like,
there's
something
behind that laugh.
What?
There's something behind that laugh. What is it?
Well, like, I've always struggled with depression.
Right.
And when I was younger, like, I struggled with it a lot.
All right.
But then, like, I just found life from friendship, which is probably not a good way to find it. But at the same time, I think relationships are the only thing that really matter, you know?
Right.
And so now I'm at this point where I'm going to school and working and trying to, like, pursue things with my life, and I have all this ambition and stuff. But it just seems so worthless when I feel like I can't even really connect with people at all.
Well,
like,
it sounds like...
It sounds like
the people you invested a lot in these friendships in the past, and now, you know, it just happens in people when they get married, when they have kids, they don't have time for those close friendships that they used to, and so you're kind of being shut off from your friends, and you don't know where to go.
Yeah.
I think there's a problem.
I just think she's depressed. I don't know.
But
I
it
think
sounds like she was really counting on her friends.
Well,
and
I wasn't really counting on my friends because I kind of knew it would be this way.
Yeah.
No,
but
I think you're
time,
depressed.
It's like, what do you do?
You got to get this depression treated, and I think there's something even more behind this sense of disconnect and why you're disconnecting from people that have moved on in their life to another stage, and then why that's horrifying to you and why you'd want to pull away from that and find reasons to disconnect and reasons to feel different. And then those feelings of worthlessness and lack of connection are typical depression symptoms.
But sometimes you lose, I mean, depression aside, because you could argue that most people are depressed, you lose contact with people, and you don't have as many things in common as you did when you were young. Even a few years ago, she was a teenager.
But again, she's saying she's out there going to school, doing all these active things. She should be able to find people, but she can't get that connection going. And she's describing depression, and there's got to be a reason behind that connection problem. And that's really what therapy is. If you want to do therapy, it's about forming intimate connection. We have to go to break. Adam?
All right. Well, she was also saying her friends were sort of dullards, and she was much more worldly.
Well, which
in
is
her
finding
own,
a reason to
way.
This. Right, it's staying aloof and disconnected that way, so it's not something's wrong.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back with Kennedy after this. Hey, everybody. everybody. It's Loveline. Our guest tonight, Kennedy, Friend or Foe, is the name of her new show on the Game Show Network, which starts tomorrow night, Monday night, and it starts at 10:30. Drew's in L.A. I'm in New York. And who do we got next, Drew?
Dave, 31.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Good.
Had two things. First of all, that the movie that Kennedy was referring to earlier.
Suck my white balls, that one?
I'm sorry?
Suck my white balls, sailor.
Now, that movie Dunhole is just horrible. I mean, I still have scars from that, from seeing that about like 6 years ago.
From seeing Bert?
Oh, God.
Seeing a man in stirrups give anal birth to the Bert doll with a little studded collar around his neck. As though he's going into labor and he's like, it's time! And they take him into a fake emergency room where they put him in a leather harness and they stick their yes and then they pull out a Bert doll.
Nice. What movie is this?
It's called Donut Hole.
Oh.
I don't.
Kennedy, why would you watch
this
movie?
When did you refer to that?
It was early in the program.
Bit oblique.
No, I was on a bus with some musicians and I was forced into watching this and I'm not proud of it. Not proud.
Yeah, like a train wreck.
Listen, a lot of you people like to watch this stuff with like Daniel Pearl getting his head cut off and all these.
Is that tape out there now?
It's on the web.
I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, what could happen if people finally get a hold of that? And I was hoping it would never happen, but apparently.
There you go, Dave.
Yeah, sorry.
What else?
You guys kind of fade away there. Anyhow, I had a question about RU-486 also.
Yeah.
You're talking about that, and I've got myself in a situation to where that might be a viable option.
Yeah.
And I'm not exactly sure whether it's something that you should investigate more or whether, you know, Drew sounded a little apprehensive about saying a whole lot about it.
Well, what do you want to know?
Well, I mean, what sort of, do they have side effects? What sort of success rate does it have?
It's very effective. Not a lot of places, not everyone will use it, but it's a viable option.
And why wouldn't people be using it?
You know, that I don't know enough about to really comment. That's what the question I ask sometimes is, why aren't we using more of this stuff? Because it looks really good on paper.
Okay. Now it's,
it may be an expense issue and sort of how places, you know, decide what they're going to use.
Is it more expensive than the sort of more invasive procedures that they do?
I guess so. I mean, that's all I can figure out.
Well, listen, if it is, it's just because a band of idiots who thought they would set a moral agenda for the country aren't letting it come in at a normal price.
It requires a bunch of follow-up visits and things, and I guess...
You can go to France and get it. They sell it over the counter.
Do they really?
With codeine. Frogs. But Adam, what else were you going to say about the movies online?
No, forget it. Go ahead.
Well, with the RU-486, I mean, it's not apparently readily available, but it's legal in it's legal everywhere now, huh?
As far as I know. And again, it's something if people are inclined to use something, I don't see why it's different than any other kind of abortion. Same thing.
Well, because it makes it too accessible and it's too easy and it's too sort of Orwellian for people to deal with. I mean, you got to understand that a lot of these right wingers, they think the planet's 2,000 years old. Do you know what I mean? I mean, they're not men of science. Mm. They're a little more superstitious and they're pretty freaked out by the idea of a pill that induces an abortion. That's scary to them.
The Catholic Church accepts evolution.
Oh, are they into it now?
Yeah, well, ever since 1968.
But it hasn't.
No,
not the Catholic Church.
Right,
at an ecumenical council in 1968, the Catholic Church decided that a lot of the language in the Book of Genesis was metaphorical, and evolution was a viable scientific theory.
Josh. So they ought to get on that a little bit.
Josh, I mean, 12.
Promote that.
Yeah.
Josh?
After they get over the sexual abuse scandals. Josh.
You're Catholic, aren't you, Adam?
No, I don't care. I hope the whole goddamn church just falls apart.
Josh, you there? Dad. Josh. He's gone. Let's see. This is Lisa, 20.
Hi.
Hey.
I wasn't even going to call in about this, but I just ran into Heidi Fleiss, and I figured perfect time to call and ask.
What do you mean you ran into Heidi Fleiss?
I was driving on Sunset, and I pulled my car over to make a call, and I thought, what's your boyfriend's name? The actor?
Tom Sizemore.
Yeah,
the
Sizemore.
Actor.
I couldn't remember his name. I knew it was Tom something. We saw him, and then this car pulled up, and Heidi Fleiss pulled out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So what's the question?
My question is in regards to an STD.
Yeah.
I was just diagnosed with something called molluscum contagiosum.
Right.
And I had never heard of it before, and I was wondering, like, I didn't even know it was really an STD until I looked it up online, and I was wondering, how do you get it, and is it possible to still transfer it?
It's a virus. You had them taken off yet?
Yeah, I did, and the thing was that can you hear me?
Yep.
Sorry. I had one, like, little bump that I noticed, and I went to my doctor about it, and she removed it. It, like, made a scar, so, like, I have this now, and
well, the connection is too hideous there, but they can either scoop off the top or sort of shell it out, or they can use liquid nitrogen. And usually, if you control the lesions, they look like little zits.
Is it like warts?
You're not contagious. It looks literally like a zit, but it doesn't pop. It kind of peels. The top kind of peels off.
Oh boy.
You're right.
Yeah, it would seem like a good time getting those things out.
Yeah, you all add them. Oh, you'd get off on that. It's like popping big carbuncles.
Yeah, I think I would find it quite rewarding.
Yes, yes.
Or satisfying in a visceral way.
Yeah, you produce something. That's
do you
good.
Pop your carbuncles, Adam?
I lance them. I don't pop them.
With a hot needle that you've
now,
taken a match to?
Let me tell you something, Kennedy, that is not going to sit well with you. I have taken a sewing needle and stuck it into my skin probably, whether I'm popping a zit or picking out an ingrown hair on my neck, I've probably done it 250,000 times in my life.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you this. I have never sterilized the needle, ever. It sits on a shelf, and I stick it into my body, and you know what? It's nothing has ever happened.
What if you get a staph infection?
Kennedy has got to go wash her hands now, Adam. She can't stand it.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Why wouldn't I? Nothing ever happens.
Friend or
foe? Why would I waste time?
A little bit of alcohol, anything?
Friend or foe, Monday.
I don't got time for that. Nothing happens.
Monday, 10:30. Friend or foe.
All right.
But in the meantime.
Take a break.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
That was fast.
I can't believe it. I think we should go another hour.
You and I can just sit here and chat. Keep ourselves amused for an hour. Don't worry. Friend or Foe is the show. 10:30 Monday, 7:30 in some vicinities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where else can we see Kennedy? Anywhere else coming up?
No, just in the Loveline studio here. That is quickly coming to an end.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Adam is gone now, and the show has come to a close, unfortunately. I'm to see if I get rid of Adam a few more days and just have Kennedy and I here by ourselves. It'd be cool. All right. In the meantime, this is Dr. Drew saying goodnight to Kennedy and to all of you on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Suck my white balls.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.